So please take a seat for our readings. Thank you.
Ngā mihi mahana e te whānau. A reading from Paul's Epistle to the Romans, chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. The Word became flesh. Oops, no. We're doing the Romans one first. Forget all that, we'll start again. A reading from Paul's Epistle to the Romans, chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God, the gospel he promised beforehand through his prophets and the Holy Scriptures regarding his Son, who as to his human nature was a descendant of David, and who through the Spirit of holiness was declared with power to be the Son of God by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. Through him and for his name's sake, we received grace and apostleship to call people from among the Gentiles to the obedience that comes from faith. And you also are among those who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. To all in Rome who are loved by God and called to be by saints, grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Whakaronga ki te kupu a te wairua ki te hāhi. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Right one this time. Te rongopai tapu ki te ritenga ahone, te tahi upoko, ka timata tahi. The Holy Gospel according to John, chapter 1, beginning at verse 1.
Praise and glory to God.
The Word became flesh. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Te rongopai tēnei a te karaiti. This is the gospel of Christ.
Well, good morning, everybody. Hope you guys are shaping up well as we come to the end of our Advent journey. And I want to talk about our gospel reading today, because it is, I think, one. It's a passage that captures both a lot of mystery, something about the power of God, and something about the unfolding love story that is wrapped up in the story of salvation that we come to celebrate as we head towards Christmas. So, but it's not the easiest verse to understand. I actually did come across it when I became a Christian. I came across it early on because I started with the Gospels and I worked my way through. So I would have come across it pretty early on in my Christian walk, and I don't remember taking it in at all. And in fact, I don't really remember understanding it until sometime later. I was watching the Queen's Christmas message. And Prince Charles, as he was at the time, King Charles now, read this very passage. And he read it so beautifully, it felt like it just unfolded, and I felt like I was invited in to consider the mystery of God, the unfolding story of salvation, and God's great love to us. And so that's what I wanted to unpack a little bit for us today. So I'm just going to work my way through it. I don't usually preach like this, do I? There's just a bit of exegesis here as we go through. But we're going to do this today. And I'm just going to follow through just the gospel reading that you just received. I'm going to break it down a little bit for us. So it starts at the beginning, of course, with this. In the beginning was the Word. Now the Word that has been talked about here is Jesus. Not Jesus like we think about. Jesus didn't just appear at Bethlehem. It goes on to say this. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning. So we get immediately that sense of, that's quite mysterious. That's sort of interesting. I wonder how this works. We get that kind of Trinitarian insight, don't we, into the nature of God and of Jesus and the way in which God is coming into the world. This is just a bit pingy. Can I just have it down a little bit? Lovely. We move there from mystery, much better. We move there from mystery into something of the power of God. So it says this, He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through Him. And without Him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in Him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. Yes. So we get something of the mystery of God in the first verse. Second verse, we're moving into that, just a reminder of the power of God. Then what John does, which is really clever, I think, is he takes some of this sense of mystery and power of who God is, and he places it in the context of the world in which Jesus was born, which is what we call the incarnation, right? The God coming into the world in the physical form, entering into our real life context. So he goes on to say this. So he picks up the story. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. Confusing, I know, to have John and the Gospel of John, not the same person. We have the writer of the Gospel, John, and we have John the Baptist, who was Jesus' cousin. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. Get that sense of mystery and power entering into the reality of our everyday lives. And here's where I think it becomes a beautiful love, or reminds us that it's a beautiful love story. He goes on to say this, He was in the world, and the world came into being through Him, yet the world did not know Him. He came to what was His own, and His own people did not accept Him. But to all who received Him, to all who believed in His name, He gave the power to become children of God. Isn't that beautiful? You know, I've spent a few years recently, maybe like, over the last four or five years, I've been reflecting on this, maybe five, six. But I've been doing a little bit of reflecting. Sorry, team. I've been doing a little bit of reflecting on this. And one of the questions that I've had for myself over the last few years is, why would a God who wants to make Himself known, who is all-powerful and all-knowing, choose to make Himself known by being born as a vulnerable baby to an unwed teenage mother at the absolute back end of the Roman Empire, about as far from the center of power as you could get? about that for a moment. That would seem counterintuitive to someone like me, who would be like, you know, if you want to make a splash, that's not how you do it. Why would God choose to reveal himself to the world in that way? So I've been thinking about this over the last few years, and I think I've come up with, I'm not going to say the answer, I'm going to come up with an answer for you to reflect on today. And the thing that I reflected on, I guess, that I came to was this. No matter how all-knowing you are, no matter how powerful you are, you can't make people love you. You can't make people love you. People have to choose to love you. And so it is that God chooses to reveal himself to us in vulnerable love to the world. It's like saying to the world, I made you. I know you. I love you. And I wonder if you might love me in return. Now, the thing with loving someone, of course, is that it is vulnerable, because if you lay yourself out there in vulnerability and love, if you say, I love you to someone, there is always the possibility that they might not love you in return. And that's picked up in that verse there. He came to that which was his own, and his own people did not accept him. Heartbreaking that God will offer himself vulnerably in love. But as we know, some people don't accept it. Heartbreaking. But to all who do, to all who received him, he gives the power to become children of God. So it's like God reaching out to us in love, saying, I know you, I created you, I love you. Would you love me in return? And we've all had those opportunities in our life to say, yeah, I will. Now you see, you probably guys will probably know, I'm kind of like a worship guy, right? You know, that's been like part of my spiritual DNA ever since I came to faith. Largely because I experienced a coming to faith as an incredible experience of God's presence, his love and power and grace in my life. And when I experienced that, it was like God saying, I love you. Would you like to step into this relationship with me? And I was like, yes. And so my response to that was just to want to love God in return. And now, as a worship guy, my favorite definition of worship is probably the simplest. It's this. Worship is simply our love response to the love that we have received from God. It's initiated by God into our lives. And when we say yes, when we choose to love God in return with all of our heart, with all of our mind, with all of our soul, with all of our strength, that is worship. And so I wonder if, as we come to this kind of cusp, we're at the edge really where we're finishing the Advent season, we're about to launch off into the joy and celebration of the Christmas season, but before we do, whether we might take a moment to consider God's love towards us and how we might like to respond in love in return. I just wonder if the worship team could come, and the rest of us can stand, so the worship team's not standing on their own, and we can all stand together. And here's what I wonder if you might do. Think of a moment in your life when you felt God reach into your life with great love. And you got that sense of being able to know God, that sense of being known by God, and that sense of being invited into relationship with God. Like God saying to you, I know you, I made you, I love you. Just think about some of those moments that you've had in your life. Think about where you were, perhaps, what you were doing, what it felt like to know that you were loved by God. And as you remember those moments, think about the salvation story that lies behind that. The unfolding plan of God to draw all people to Himself. A God of depth and mystery, who is unknowable in completeness, but who wants to be known by us. A God who, in great power, created the world and all that we see, and even all that we don't see. And yet still didn't want to force us into relationship, but wants to invite us into relationship because of His great love for each person. Your own story of moving from darkness into light, receiving grace and being set free, knowing God's healing and presence in your life. And as we meditate on that right now, as we prepare our hearts once more to come and break bread and share wine together, let our response this morning be worship.
You step down into time. Thank you.
fable not of the church, but of Jesus. It is for those who love him, and it is for those who want to love him more. So come. You who have much faith, and you who have a little. You who have been here often, and you who have not been here for a long time. You who have tried to follow, and you who have failed. Come, not because I invite you, but because Jesus invites you. And it is his desire that all might come to know him, and that we might celebrate together. The Lord is here.
God's Spirit is with us.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to offer thanks and praise.
We thank you, Father, through Jesus Christ, your Son, for when he humbled himself to come among us in human flesh, he fulfilled the plan you formed before the foundation of the world, to open for us the way of salvation. Confident that your promise will be fulfilled, we now watch for the day when Christ our Lord will come again in glory. And so, with all your people around the world, with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven, we praise your name, saying together, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. As we remember your Son Jesus, the good that he did, the people he healed, the way he served, send your Holy Spirit that this bread and this wine may be for us his body and blood. On the night before he died, Jesus had supper with his friends. Taking bread, he gave you thanks. He broke it and gave it to them, saying, Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this to remember me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, gave you thanks, and he gave it to them, saying, Drink this, all of you. For this is my blood of the new covenant, shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, to remember me. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come in glory. We thank you, Father, that Jesus has broken the power of death and is alive forevermore. Pour out your Holy Spirit upon us to empower us to live lives like Jesus, full of love for one another, full of love for you, and full of love for this world that you long to save. United in Christ with all who stand before you in earth and heaven, we worship you, O God, in songs of everlasting praise. Blessing, honor, and glory be yours, here and everywhere, now and forever. Amen. Would you please sit or kneel, and as Christ teaches us, we sing.
E tu ma tu ma tu aite rangi kia ta puto
Thank you.
break this bread to share in the body of Christ. We who are many are one body, for we all share the one bread. Haere mai, e te kahui a te atua. Haere mai, ki te tepu a te karaiti. Come, God's flock. Come to the Lord's table.